ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः. वी आर् डिस्कसिङ्ग् दि साधन पञ्चकम्. वी हव् आल्मोस्ट् कम् टु दि एण्ड् आफ् दि थर्ड् श्लोक, दि लास्ट् कमाण्ड्मेण्ट्, 24th. बुधजनैः वादः परित्यज्यताम्. Give up any type of argument with the wise. Give up totally the tendency to argue with wise men. We approach these wise people who have direct experience of God, and they also are thoroughly familiar with the inner meanings of every scripture. We associate with them for the sake of our own benefit. We are not obliging them, but we are obliged to them. They are not gaining anything by teaching us the glory and nature of the self. It is not they who benefit when they patiently explain and encourage us to reach the self. It is entirely our own gain. That's why any type of quarrelsome argument should never be undertaken when we are in the company of the people. Simply keep quiet and do not go to sleep. This is our natural tendency. When we do not open our mouth, we open the door to our sleep. But that should not be done. We have to be extremely alert, because at what time pearls of wisdom and of practical help fall from their mouths, only God knows. That with that, the third shloka is over. Now we are entering into the fourth shloka. I'll give you a brief introduction about this. The fourth shloka is apparently meant for the sannyasins. We have to remember Shankaracharya was a sannyasin, and his tendency is to glorify and to outsmart everybody else other than sannyasins, and there too the Advaitin sannyasins are glorified rather than the Bhakta sannyasins. Sannyasi means one who renounces the world and takes to life of sannyasa with a special type of cloth. It could be either ochre cloth, or it could be, as in the case of some of the Bhakta sannyasins, yellow cloth. So the Shankaracharya naturally favors the sannyasins, but we are following the teachings of Sri Ramakrishna and Swami Vivekananda. And in his Karma Yoga, if our devotees remember, there is a beautiful book written or lectured, and later on Swami Vivekananda has brought out in a book form his earlier lectures called Karma Yoga. And with each chapter, practically, he ends with a beautiful story. That one of the chapters is, who is great, the householder or the sannyasi? And Swamiji gives a most marvelous story taken from Mahabharata mostly as an illustration. And therein, there was a sannyasin who firmly rejected the advancements of a princess, most beautiful, desirable Miss Universe princess. But there were also two, a family of birds under whose tree this one king, this sannyasin, and they were taking shelter. And these birds sacrificed their lives because they were householders, and it is their duty to look after the atithis. After narrating this story, Swami Vivekananda, in the form of advice from the sannyasi, says, O king, each is great in his or her own place. A householder is great, a sannyasin is great. This is the new type of philosophy. Sannyasin's life is one type of style, and householder's life is another type of style. Obviously, it is difficult as a householder, but we are not dividing them as householders and monks. We are dividing them as in one caste, the spiritual aspirants. These teachings are meant for spiritual aspirants. So here is the fourth shloka that goes, Shudhyadhischa चिकित्स्यताम् प्रतिदिनम् भिक्षौधनम् भिक्षौषधम् भुज्यताम् स्वाद्वन्नम् न तु याच्यताम् विधिवशात् प्राप्तेन सन्तुष्यताम् शीतोष्णादि विसह्यताम् न तु వృధా వాక్యం సముచ్చార్యతాం, ఔదాసీన్యం అభీప్స్యతాం, జన కృపా నైష్టుర్యం ఉత్సృజ్యతాం. త్రూ ది డైలీ మెడిసిన్ ఆఫ్ ఆమ్స్ ట్రీట్ ది డిసీజ్ ఆఫ్ హంగర్. డోంట్ హ్యాంకర్ ఆఫ్టర్ డెలీషియస్ ఫుడ్. బి కంటెంట్ విత్ వాట్ ఎవర్ కమ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఇట్స్ ఓన్ యాజ్ ది రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రారబ్ధ కర్మ. ఫర్ బియర్ ది పోలారిటీస్ సచ్ యాజ్ కోల్డ్ అండ్ హీట్ అండ్ నవర్ అటర్ మీనింగ్లెస్ యూస్లెస్ క్వారల్సమ్ వర్డ్స్. డు నాట్ ఎక్స్పెక్ట్ ఈదర్ కైండ్నెస్ ఆర్ హార్ష్నెస్ ఫ్రమ్ అదర్ పీపుల్. బి కంప్లీట్లీ ఫ్రీ ఇండిపెండెంట్ అవర్ యువర్ ఓన్ మాస్టర్. దీస్ ఆర్ ది 8 కమాండ్మెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ ది 4th వర్స్ వీఆర్ గోయింగ్ టు డెల్వ్ క్వైట్ డీప్. సో ది 25th కమాండ్మెంట్, రిమెంబర్ ఎవ్రీ శ్లోక ఇస్ గట్ 8 కమాండ్మెంట్స్. వీ కంప్లీటెడ్ 3 శ్లోకాస్, 3 × 8 24 కమాండ్మెంట్స్. సో దిస్ ఇస్ ది 25th కమాండ్మెంట్. వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్? క్షుద్ వ్యాధిశ్చ చికిత్స్యతాం. ట్రీట్ హంగర్ యాజ్ ఎ డిసీజ్, ట్రీట్ ఇట్ అకార్డింగ్లీ. బట్ దిస్ బాడీ ఇట్సెల్ఫ్ ఈస్ ది బిగ్గెస్ట్ డిసీజ్. దిస్ బాడీ బట్ అబ్టైన్ యాజ్ ఎ రిజల్ట్ ఆఫ్ ప్రీవియస్ లైఫ్స్ పుణ్యకర్మ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ కమ్స్ ఇన్యూమరబుల్ అదర్ డిసీజెస్. దిస్ ఈస్ ది మెయిన్ డిసీజ్ అండ్ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ ఈజ్ ఏ బచ్చా. సో దిస్ బాడీ ఆల్సో గోస్ త్రూ ది 6 ఫోల్డ్ చేంజెస్. అస్థి జాయతే వర్ధతే విపరిణమతే అపక్షీయతే వినశ్యతి. ఇట్ ఈస్ కన్సీవ్డ్ అండ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ కన్ఫర్మ్డ్, ఇట్ గ్రోస్, ఇట్ గోస్ త్రూ మెనీ చేంజెస్ అండ్ ఇట్ డికేస్, ఫైనల్లీ ఇట్ డైస్. హియర్ శంకరాచార్య ఇన్ అదర్ కామెంటరీస్ హి సేస్ దట్ దిస్ హంగర్ బికాస్ ఆఫ్ ది బాడీ ఇస్ ఎ క్రానిక్ డిసీజ్. క్రానిక్ డిసీజ్ మీన్స్ ఎ లాంగ్ టర్మ్ డిసీజ్. లాంగ్ టర్మ్ డిసీజ్ మీన్స్ ఇట్ స్టార్ట్స్ ఫ్రమ్ ది బర్త్ అండ్ ఎండ్స్ ఓన్లీ విత్ డెత్. రెస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ది హోల్ లైఫ్ ఇట్ ఈస్ ఎ డిసీజ్ విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు డీల్ విత్ అండ్ ఇట్ మస్ట్ బి ట్రీటెడ్ యాజ్ వీ ట్రీట్ ఎనీ అదర్ డిసీజ్. హంగర్ ఈజ్ నాట్ ఎన్ ఒకేషన్ టు ఎంజాయ్ ఫుడ్. ఫర్ మోస్ట్ ఆఫ్ అస్ హంగర్ ఫుల్ఫిల్స్ 2 పర్పసెస్. ఫస్ట్ రిమూవ్ ది హంగర్, దట్ ఈస్ అబ్టైన్ ఎనర్జీ. వాట్ ఈస్ హంగర్? డిప్లీషన్ ఆఫ్ ఎనర్జీ నెసెసరీ టు డూ సమ్ యాక్టివిటీ ఈజ్ కాల్డ్ హంగర్. సో వెన్ అవర్ ఎనర్జీ ఈజ్ డిప్లీటెడ్ దెన్ ఫుడ్ మస్ట్ బి సప్లైడ్, దట్ మీన్స్ ఎనర్జీ మస్ట్ బి సప్లైడ్. ఇట్ ఈస్ వెరీ ఇంట్రెస్టింగ్ టు నోట్ ది నాసా అమెరికన్ సైంటిస్ట్ హ్యావ్ మేడ్ ఎ స్పెషల్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ పిల్ అండ్ ఇట్ కంటైన్స్ ఆల్ ది న్యూట్రియంట్స్ నెసెసరీ ఫర్ 24 అవర్స్ యాక్టివిటీస్. వన్ పిల్ ఎ డే ఇట్ విల్ గివ్, జస్ట్ వన్ పిల్. అండ్ సమ్ ఆఫ్ యూ మస్ట్ బి డెఫినెట్లీ నోయింగ్ దే హ్యావ్ మేడ్ సమ్ స్పెషల్ టైప్ ఆఫ్ బిస్కట్స్ అండ్ వన్ సచ్ బిస్కట్ ప్రాక్టికల్లీ 6 to 8 అవర్స్ ఇట్ సప్లైస్ అండ్ దిస్ ఈస్ గివెన్ ఓన్లీ ఫర్ ది మిలిటరీ పీపుల్. ద పిల్ వాజ్ ఇన్వెంటెడ్ ఫర్ ది బెనిఫిట్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆస్ట్రోనాట్స్, దోస్ హు ట్రావెల్ ఇన్ ది సాటలైట్స్. సో నౌ దిస్ పిల్ కెన్ బి అబ్టైన్డ్ బై ఎనీబడి, బట్ దెన్ నోబడి వాంట్స్ ఇట్. వై? బికాస్ దే ఆర్ నాట్ లుకింగ్ మియర్లీ ఫర్ ఎనర్జీ, ఆర్ ది ఫస్ట్ ప్రయారిటీ ఈజ్ ఫర్ టేస్ట్, ఎంజాయ్మెంట్. సో దట్ ఈస్ ది మోస్ట్ ఇంపార్టెంట్ పార్ట్ ఆఫ్ దిస్. దట్స్ వై ఎ స్పిరిచువల్ ఆస్పైరెంట్ should be very careful about this particular hunger. Why is it so? We will come to that point slightly later on. So, hunger is not an occasion to enjoy food. It is a means of keeping this body instrument healthy and strong. Why? So that it can help our journey of reaching God. This human body, however, is the only vehicle for obtaining either dharma ఆర్ మోక్ష, ఐదర్ ఎంజాయ్మెంట్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఆర్ లిబరేషన్. ఇట్ ఈస్ సో బ్యూటిఫుల్లీ సెడ్, ఎట్ ఎనీ గివెన్ టైమ్ ఎవరీ హ్యూమన్ బీయింగ్ ఈజ్ వన్ ఆఫ్ ది 3 స్టేట్స్, యోగ, భోగ ఆర్ రోగ. ఫైండ్ అవుట్ ఆర్ యూ ఇన్ ఏ స్టేట్ ఆఫ్ యోగా అండ్ డు నాట్ ఆన్సర్ బికాస్ ఐ నో ది ఆన్సర్, నాట్ ఇన్ యోగా. దెన్ వాట్ అబౌట్ భోగ? ఆర్ యూ ఎంజాయింగ్? ఆర్ యూ ఫ్రీ ఫ్రమ్ వరీస్? ఆర్ యూ రియల్లీ enjoying every present moment? How do we know? Because if you are in a state of bhoga, 24 hours will pass like 1/24th of a second. Because happiness is absence of the cognition of time, space and causation. Obviously, that is not the case. So then you don't need to analyze further. You are not in yogic state, not bhogic state. In what state are you? Rogic state. What is that roga? First of all, it is maya roga. Then it produces several kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. This samsara, like a huge tree, we have discussed a bit of it in the last 6th section of the Katha Upanishad. Urdhamolam avakshaka ashvattho yesha sanatanaha. So, this body is constantly buffeted by hunger, by thirst, by tiredness and by the quest for pleasures, etc. But inevitably, its relatives, closest relatives also will surround us. The closest relatives of pleasures are pain, hard work and tireless activity and accompanying worries, etc. But having said the negative side, we also have to think about the positive side. As we said, shariram adhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. This is the only instruments we have. You want to suffer? This is the instrument. You want to enjoy? This is the instrument. You want to progress in spiritual life? This is the only instrument. So this human body is extremely rare to obtain, as we have elaborately discussed in our Viveka Chudamani class. Durlabham trayamevaitat devanugraha hetukam manushyatvam mumukshutvam mahapurusha samshayaha. So shariramadhyam khalu dharma sadhanam. Let us remember it. So this is a disease and disease has to be treated. But there is something that we have to understand, which we will discuss from the next commandment. Commandment 26, Pratidinam Bhiksha Aushadham Bhujyatam. If the body is a disease, and what is the remedy for that disease? Every disease has to be treated with two factors. One factor is a medicine, another factor is a diet control and exercise. So, Shankaracharya is giving instructions. Pratidinam Bhikshaushadham Bhujyatam. Daily, take the medicine of Bhiksha. Why daily? Because this is a chronic disease. And this disease requires the medicine. How long? So long as the disease is there. How long will the disease be there? So long as the body is there. Therefore, every day we have to take the medicine. Food is to be taken. It is unavoidable, but this is not to be done as a pleasure. Why? Should we not enjoy? Of course we can enjoy, provided we fulfill certain conditions. We must be aware, first of all, that this is a disease. So this is a medication. It is, you can say, sometimes there are very beautiful medications are there. I should not be telling all these things to you, but I will reveal one secret to you. Of all the diseases, the most pleasant disease so far as I am concerned, it is called fever, influenza. I am very much influenced by this disease called influenza. So what is it? It has cold and it has fever. And there is a medicine. It is most pleasant medicine. It is called cough syrup. Cough syrup comes in two categories. One, with alcohol. Second, without alcohol. You take this alcoholic syrup and it's very tasty. And having taken, dive deep into a beautiful quilt made up of down or feathers, whatever it is, whatever it is will be all right. And you will be completely not asleep and not completely awake, floating on the clouds of beautiful imaginations. Of course, you have to put a notice board outside your door. Do not disturb. Disease replete in this room. And then you dive deep. I have found it a most wonderful state. I should not say, but equivalent to Savikalpa Samadhi. Take, you enjoy your food, but with the proviso. What is the proviso? That it should, first of all, enjoy it. How to enjoy it? At the same time, not be craving again, not to be desiring it again. That we will come very shortly. What is the remedy for this This is pratidinam, every day. Every day means, usually sannyasins are supposed to take only once or at most twice. Bhiksha, the word bhiksha means food given by somebody, not taken by us by hard work, etc. What is the bhiksha here? That which is given by God. That is called bhiksha, annapurna. I will come to that point. So what is the remedy for this disease? First of all, every living being, especially living man, suffers chronically from this disease called hunger from birth to death. What is the remedy? Food. Thus, take food as a medicine, not for enjoyment, but for relief from hunger. This is, of course, extreme sannyasin's view. There are, for sannyasins first of all, varieties of bhiksha are there. There are some sannyasins, they go for obtaining food, they take a vow. Whatever, I go to only one house, if they give fine, if they don't give fine, if they give little fine, if they give more fine, or three houses, or five houses. This is one type of accepting bhiksha. Second type is, I forgot the Sanskrit name, they go to the fields and they gather the grain deliberately left by farmers or cultivators for the sake of birds, animals and beggars and wandering sannyasins. So they gather the food. We know that beautiful story in the Mahabharata that comes. Half of its body became golden because of the prasada taken rolling down. That is another type. Gather from it as much as one can. Third type is called ajagara vritti. Ajagara vritti. Ajagara means python. A person doesn't go at all. He will sit and the food has to come, and the direct disciples have practiced this third type of begging food every now and then. So to a sannyasin, the food gathered from one house, three houses, five houses is bhiksha. Gathering grains left deliberately by cultivators, and that is second type. Ajagara vritti, that is third type. But what this is for sannyasins, or it is also for vanaprasthins, or sometimes it is for brahmacharins. Only three ashramas people are allowed, given permission to beg. Brahmacharins, vanaprasthis and then sannyasins. But for householders, whatever is cooked at home must be treated as prasada obtained from Mother Annapurna, then offered to God, and then shared as bhiksha with the idea this is prasada, this is bhiksha given by Mother Annapurna. It must be shared with guests, beggars and household members. For every disease, there is a remedy in the form of medicine. For hunger also, there is a remedy in the form of food. Again, when we take the medicine, our aim of taking the medicine is to cure the disease, not to enjoy the medicine. Anyway, some funny stories come to my mind. There was a fellow and he was feeling very weak, and he craved for chicken curry, and then his wife was an orthodox lady. She will never permit it, either at home or not allow her husband to take it anywhere. And he was distressed, he prayed to God, and then he visited the doctor, and the doctor had prescribed the only remedy for this is first class chicken curry, chicken soup. And this is what he considered as God-given food. Triumphantly he went and placed it in front of the wife, and the wife had to shut her mouth and serve her husband. So this is called fortunate bhiksha from God in the form of the doctor. This is exactly what I desired and what the doctor prescribed for me. Anyway, there are some fortunate souls like that. There is this beautiful Annapurna Stotram. First of all, we have to understand Mother Annapurna is nothing but food. She is the nourishing aspect of Brahman in the form of food. And Annapurna is not a particular deity sitting somewhere in Varanasi, and it is said she gives food even to Bhagavan, her own husband, because he was a Prathama Sannyasi, first Sannyasi. But we are all her children. Mata me Parvati Devi Pita Devo Maheshwaraha Bandhavaha Shivabhaktascha Swadesho Bhuvanatrayam were all her children. And again, this Shankaracharya himself has composed a most marvelous stotram called Annapurna Stotram, very appropriate for our topic. What is it telling? Part of this is Bhiksham Dehi Kripavalambanakari Mata Annapurneshwari. Oh mother, I want to have bhiksha from you. What does a child ask? He asks for physical bhiksha, he asks for jnana bhiksha, he asks for adhyatma vidya bhiksha, annapurne sadapurne shankara pranavallabhe jnana vairagya siddhyartham bhiksham dehi cha parvati. So whatever food we get must be considered as prasada from God, and after offering it to God must be taken as prasada. And this is where particularly sannyasins and particularly the devotees, disciples belonging to the Ramakrishna order, they chant the Brahmarpanam sloka that occurs in the 4th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 24th sloka of the 4th chapter called Jnana Yoga or Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yoga. What does it mean here? The thing that is offered, the offering, is nothing but Brahman. Who is the offerer? He is also Brahman. The instrument with which he offers, that is also Brahman. It is God in the form of all of us jivatmas, and he obtains food in the form of Annapurna or Parabrahman, Ishvara, and we eat not for the pleasure of the body, but for the health, strength and energy of the body, and we consider it after Brahmarpanam that God in the form of the food, God is eating himself and he is acting in every way. This is called Jnana Bhiksha. There is a beautiful, wonderful incident in the life of, in South India, there were devotees of Shiva Bhaktas, and one of the Shiva Bhaktas was Jnana Nayanmar. So when he was a small child, his parents took him to a temple and then they went to bathe. This small child felt very hungry, started crying. Suddenly, a lady came from nowhere, took the child on her lap and started suckling the baby. And happily, he filled his stomach with this milk, and then that lady disappeared. And then the father came. He was extremely angry. He asked this Jnana Sambandha, who gave you the milk? And then the baby very happily composed a most wonderful shloka. Then and there, even though he was a small child, and then he said, it is mother, divine mother Annapurna, who came to me and she gave me this milk called Jnana milk. And that moment his tongue touched that milk, he became enlightened. From that time onwards, he went on composing wonderful things, which is in Tamil language, literary and devotional treasures. So it is, whether we know it or not, it is the Divine Mother only in the name of Annapurna, who is nourishing the whole world. From whence? From the birth. Until when? Until death. And we ourselves are, we came from food, we live by food, and we are food, and we go to nourish the other creatures throughout our life. That is what is called the beautiful combination, synthesis of both our human body as well as some bacteria, etc. Now, there is something very interesting. We have to think about it. So, what is it? This particular craving for food, it is endemic, starts from Janma Janmantara. All of us have got 5 sense organs. And of all the 5 sense organs, the most powerful are 2. The organ of taste, which is called rasana or the tongue, and the organ of generation. But of these 2, the most powerful is the organ of taste. Why? It starts by birth. It was the ancient custom in Vedic times. The father, as soon as the baby is born, he takes a drop of honey and puts it in the mouth of this small baby, just a few seconds old baby, and then goes on uttering that, my child, your secret name is Veda. So every one of us are nothing but Veda. Veda means knowledge. But then, if everybody is called Veda, then we cannot distinguish one from the other. Therefore, it has become a secret name, bracketed name. But rest of the name, every name is to distinguish one from everything else. The third commandment in this particular shloka, 27th commandment, Svadvannam natu yachyata. Do not beg. Yachyata means do not beg. What? Svadu annam. Never. Never ask. I want to taste food. Otherwise, I refuse to accept it. May we never ask for delicious dessert. What's wrong? Because to ask for delicious dessert, we have to identify ourselves with our tongues, first of all. And identification with the tongue means we are encouraging our identity with our body. Deha vimana. I am the body, therefore I am the tongue, therefore I demand only the very tasty food. What is the earlier, what was the commandment? Dehe aham matihi ujyataam. So our goal is to get away as far as possible from this identity with the body. And that is a commandment which we have studied earlier. I hope you remember it. Therefore, let us not encourage this dehabhimana. So anything that goes to strengthen our identity with the body, slowly we have to get rid of it. That is the purpose of that beautiful shloka, Brahmarpanam, that I have nothing to do. This body belongs to Brahman, and the person who owns this body, he is Brahman, and whatever he is doing through this body and mind, he is Brahman. This is called Brahma Yajna. Our goal in life is to convert our whole life into a Brahma Yajna. So that is called spiritual sadhana. But Shankaracharya, so what does he say here? We have to give up this dehabhimana. And what is the first thing that we have to do? Svadvannam natu yachyatam. Because of all the five sense organs, this organ is the most powerful organ. And this organ acts as a double organ. It is also Jnanendriya. It is also Karmendriya. When we are eating, enjoying, it is Jnanendriya. When we are talking, just imagine a fellow without tongue, can he talk? That's why it is a combination, double organ, both an organ of knowledge as well as an organ of action. It is very difficult. So, Shankaracharya says, Yogasya prathamam dwaram vang nirodhaha. If anyone wants to become a spiritual aspirant, what is the very first doorway through which he has to enter? So, whenever we start our journey, the path, it forks into two. That which goes to the left or right or east or west. What is it? Sreyaha, Priyaha, Manushyametav, Samparitya, Vivinakti Dhiraha. So, two doors confront us. One is the Shreyo Marga, another is the Priyo Marga. So, do not all roads lead to Rome? Yes, one road leads to Rome and the other road leads to Roam. So they are diametrically opposed. That's what Katha Upanishad says. Duramite viparite vishuchi. They are completely diametrical opposite to each other. Therefore, what is the first door a yogi? Yogi means here spiritual aspirant confronted with. Yogasya prathamam dwaram vang nirodhaha. Walk. Stop talking too much. This we will come a little later on. The explanation is a little bit later on. But here we are talking about the Jnanendriya called Rasanendriya, the organ of taste. And all of us are slaves to only these two things. How do we know? I still remember when I was in UK about 10, 11 years back, there was a financial disaster. Everywhere in the world, economic downturn happens, the stock markets have gone down, billions of people have lost, and even today, some people say, we have not gone back to that state. Now, what was very interesting and important, those who are running the food market, Marks and Spencers, etc., their stock value has been going up and up and up. Same thing, Walmart and Marks and Spencer's and similar type of companies, they went on going up and up and up. Why? Because even if any other enjoyment is denied, man cannot forget the enjoyment of taste. So, all spiritual sadhanas begin with the tongue. Shankaracharya says that this indriya called rasanendriya acts as a double indriya, both for eating and talking. Therefore, what should we do? Should we remain glum and miserable and talk only the most depressing manner? Or just everything is bitter? Should we do like that? No. There are certain rules and regulations, guidelines given again by the scriptures to us. This we get by observing the life of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda, Swami Brahmananda, etc. When our devotees, they study the lives of these great souls, especially the Holy Trio, then we get the beautiful hint. First thing you notice, if you study their lives, is they are never glum. They are manifestations of Chidgana Kaya Chidananda Rupa. They are embodiments of bliss, floating in the ocean of bliss, swimming in the ocean of bliss. But are they all the time enjoying? No. Many times devotees bring a very tasty food and Sri Ramakrishna used to gladly offer it to the Divine Mother and offer it to everybody as prasada. And especially if we observe the life of Holy Mother, first she will give to everybody. She wants her children to enjoy it thoroughly. Now, there was a very beautiful incident, incidental to our talk today. Once, it was the birthday of Holy Mother. The devotees decided, every day Holy Mother used to slog several hours in the preparation of the food, and not once. The food has to be done at least 3 times, morning, then afternoon and night. Noon is very elaborate. So, they decided, today we will make Mother very happy, we will cook and we will feed Holy Mother first. So they cooked, naturally, very nicely they cooked, and they requested. Mother said, Babara, children, you eat first, then I will eat. Because that was her habit. The last persons to eat, the Holy Mother and a few of her companions. That is what every housewife was supposed to do. So, but said, Mother, every day you are doing that. Today, let us have the pleasure of making it. So, reluctantly she agreed, and then they decorated her with a new sari and garlands, and then served all varieties of food and asked Mother. And they found out that she was taking the food into her hand, but it was not going into her mouth. And she was having a lot of difficulty in swallowing. They asked anxiously, Mother, is there anything wrong with food? And she said, Babara, how can I enjoy food when you have not done it? Naturally, by that time, most of them must have been very hungry also. Then they became awakened, with that wisdom came a little, that if we want to make Mother happy, we have to eat happily, then only she will enjoy. That's what she did, and her face bloomed like a lotus when the sun rises. So, every mother enjoys the food when her children eat. So, this is what we have to make ourselves. There are certain golden rules are there, how to enjoy food. Enjoy it. Just to remind you, Swami Vivekananda was a fast eater, fast talker, fast walker, and fast in everything. So, he was a brilliant conversationalist, what we call the soul of the party. And whenever he was invited by somebody, he would be enthralling everybody with his conversation, deep insights, jokes. And when Swamiji used to tell a joke, there was no other go, but they had to beg him, please do not speak anything, Swamiji, otherwise we will die, our stomachs will burst out. So, he was such a wonderful person. But he used to finish whatever was served, he used to finish very fast. And then, he doesn't want to sit there. He was always a very active person. But then, they learned a trick. A trick was, Swami, we believe chocolate ice cream will be served at the end. Bas. Immediately he will sit down with an anticipated pleasure that is rarely seen even on a child's face. That was the description we get. But we have to remember, they were not gluttons, they were not slaves. They see the whole world as a manifestation of the Ananda Swarupa, Brahmananda Swarupa. So, here are certain guidelines how we should not be gloomy, we should not be negative, we should be enjoying, but with these provisos. What are they? First, do not accept food from impure and motivated people. Even if they were devotees, our daughter's marriage has to be done, our son must pass his examinations, and our grandfather should recover from the disease, and we are having a court case, please pray Swamiji. These are very common things, requests that come. Rarely anybody says, please give us some, help us, pray to God, we will have some bhakti. Okay, so do not accept from impure and motivated people. Those who studied the life of Sri Ramakrishna know his very body rejects even touching the food touched by or brought by impure people. Second, whatever food, whether it is on the aeroplane or in a strange town, in a restaurant, offer to God mentally. That is called do Brahmarpana. Thirdly, eat as prasada and as mitahara. Prasada, this is prasada, not food. Secondly, it is as much as you can digest. A child can take little, a healthy person can take little more, an old man can take little, and a person suffering from any disease, certain foods are not at all suitable for him. So we have to be very discriminative in it. Then, most important, maybe the food is very tasty. So, I enjoyed it. I would like to have it again. Do not crave again. It has come, but given by mother. It was very tasty. That's it. Full stop. I'll give some examples also. And then, you pray for them from where the food is coming. Sarve janaha sukhino bhavanto, sarve santu niramayaha, etc. Niramaya. Amaya means disease. Let no one suffer from a disease. Let us take some examples. Sri Ramakrishna narrated, reminisced later on, said, once I had a terrible desire for sandesh. In Bengal, really some people prepare sandesh very, very beautifully. And that is nothing like what we get in thousands of shops. There are some shops, there are some devotees who can prepare excellently. That is called sandesh, made out of what we call milk broken. Broken milk, it is called cheese. So, once he said, I had this craving. Then, I told Madhur Babu, and everything he will go to Madhur Babu, I have this desire. Immediately, whatever Baba says, and that is how Madhur Babu used to address Sri Ramakrishna, immediately it will be fulfilled. And he got the best sandesh that was available. Then Sri Ramakrishna's methodology, how he conquered this craving, and many of our sadhus, because I quote these incidents very often, should be able to remember, some bells should ring in your minds. So he took the sandesh, put it in his mouth, and then he started shifting it from one side of the mouth to the other side, saying, addressing his own mind, oh mind, this is called sandesh, and people go mad, craving for the fulfillment of this desire for the tasty sweet meat. And then he said, after all, oh mind, what is this sandesh? It is made out of the same mud, which is one of the panchabhutas. There is no difference between mud and then other ordinary food materials and this so-called sweet meat. Everything come only from that bhumata. And then what is the result of this discriminating way of eating? That he said, never again that craving arose in my mind. And see, in that context, we also should recollect that he had a desire to put on very costly Banaras shawl and also to smoke from a silver hubble bubble. And the same discriminating process has gone there. There is another which I have quoted in my past talks. One day Sri Ramakrishna sat down and then a devotee was probably critically looking at Sri Ramakrishna that he is a slave like myself for food. And then suddenly she saw that a snake came out of the mouth of Sri Ramakrishna, snatched the food from his hand and disappeared. These are very interesting examples. Then there was a very great soul in South India in the 18th and 19th centuries. He was called Sadashiva Brahmendra. He used to go every day for begging his food, bhiksha. And then he used to have what is called jholi. Jholi is a cloth bag and it doesn't have 5-6 pockets, one for rice and one for curds, one for sambar, one for rasam and one for paisa, etc. Whatever comes, he used to put it in that one pocket. And then South Indians, you know, especially Andhra people, he was an Andhra person, so Telugu person. So he used to take this food to Kaveri and then keep it for some time in the water. And when all the masala was washed off, then he used to eat that food as much as he required. Then incident in the life of Tulasidasa. This also incident I told you, I am reminding you because you must remember it. I know you are not a Ekashruti Dhara. You are not a Dvishruti Dhara. You are at least 100 Shruti Dhara. After hearing 100 times, you should be able to remember it. So, Tulasidasa renounced the world and then after several years, he went to a village to beg food and he stood in front of a house and Bhiksham Dehi. So, Annapurna, Bhiksham Dehi, please give me mother, Bhiksham Dehi Bhagavati. And then one lady came, elderly lady, and gave bhiksha to him. And she only used to cook tasteless, spiceless food. She said, my child, this food is tasteless. Shall I give you some pickles? And Tulasidas said, no, there is no need. I have already some Andhra avakaya. Sorry, this is my addition. Some spices I have kept at home. When I go home, I'll mix. He did not recognize that was his former wife. But she recognized him. Sharp came the rebuke. Said, if you are keeping, storing the spices at home, where was the need for you to renounce the world? Then he came to his senses and then he came home. Hopefully, he threw out all the spices, etc. We do not know. But this is how God comes to us and gives us examples. Then, I will tell you one incident. I heard from one of our Swamis who is now in the West. There are two ashramas in Varanasi, Kashi. This incident happened in Kashi. So, there was one devotee. He was old and then he died. And after few days, the daughter or granddaughter of that man was possessed by a ghost. And they tried various means, but they were unable to get rid of that ghost. Then they came and they were familiar with some Swamis in our ashrama. And they narrated, reported this incident. And one of the Swamis, he went there and then he could recognize by the voice, it was the dead man who died, the grandfather or so, who died a few days back. And then he asked, why, I know who you are, why are you troubling this, your own granddaughter or daughter, I do not remember. Then they said, Swami, I am terribly craving for tasty food. So, how can we fulfill? Well, let them cook and then give me in Pindadana. If they do that, I will enjoy it thoroughly and then I will leave and I will be on my way to the other world. And the Swami advised them. Of course, they were very happy. They knew what are all the things their grandfather had really liked, craved for, cooked in abundance and then the ghost has left. This teaches us two things, that if we have any craving, death does not remove them, but they also travel with us in the form of samskaras. Second, existence of ghosts, etc. is absolutely true. This has been conclusively, doubtlessly proved when we study the life of Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother, Swamiji, Swami Brahmananda, Trigunatitananda, Akhandananda, and innumerable other saints. So, if we cannot get rid of these cravings in our normal life, we should at least pray to God, let us not go with them. So, if we want to do that, let us fulfill our desires, offer it to God, take it as prasada, and eat it in a discriminating way as Ramakrishna did it, and above all pray, O Lord, may I not crave for these things again. Since the topic of ghosts came, I will remind you, how did Kshidiram happen to go to Gaya? So one version of it is, which Hriday narrated, Kshidiram had a daughter called Katyayani, and she was elder to even Sri Ramakrishna, and then she was married, and Kshidiram came to know that she was possessed. And immediately he went, understood a Brahma Rakshasa possessed her, and then straight he addressed. He was a very holy man, and he could curse, he could bless. Remember, he could have cursed that Jamindar who had taken away all his ancestral property, but he did not, because it is left to God. It is your will, O Rama, whatever you will, and that's what is going to happen. So, Kshidiram asked, what do you want? And the Brahma Rakshasa said, I regret very much. I did lot of papa karma in my life. If you go to Gaya and on my behalf offer tarpana, pindadana and pray to Gaya Vishnu, and Gaya is considered to be most sacred place for offering anything to our ancestors. And remember, from this month onwards, after the Mahalaya, it is called Pitrupaksha. It is very sacred for the ancestors. Any type of offering is very sacred and gives great result to our ancestors. These are all true things. That is why Kshidiram, he promised he will do that. And this is one of the reasons he visited Gaya. Of course, he had the desire to visit it and offer tarpana, offerings to his ancestors, both perhaps combined. Anyway, ghosts are real. That means there is no real death. There is only a change of lifestyle. But if we have done something extraordinarily evil, or we have too many cravings, we might have to suffer in between, in the form of what is called unfulfilled desires, in the form of ghosts, etc. Plenty of such incidents we get in the lives of every saint and sage like that. So what is the lesson? Svadvannam natu yachyatam. Do not ask. But my advice is that if you cannot control, you ask the Divine Mother. Oh Mother, I crave, my mind is craving. But you decide whether you want to give it or not. And if it is God, then immediately you offer it to the Divine Mother or God, Ishtadevata, and accept it as prasada, and as I said, only as much as it is suitable, the quantity, quality, everything, to your stomach. This is the way slowly to progress. So these commandments, 25, 26 and 27, I said their commandments are very useful for our progress in spiritual life. We will take up from next commandment onwards from day after tomorrow. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhu. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with Bhakti.